just begin to worship Him. The anointing would set in. The anointing destroys yokes. The anointing sets you free. Praise God. We bless you, Lord. We're just so grateful tonight to be in your presence, Jesus. Yes, we love you and glorify you. We praise you and magnify you. We honor the name of Jesus. It's at that name that every knee will bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we worship you now. We bow now. We confess now. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, are doing, and will do. And help us tonight. Say what you want said. Do what you want done. Just like Wednesday night, Father, I didn't expect any of that. Interrupt us if need be, Lord. You know what to do. And Lord, we thank you for utterance tonight. We thank you for boldness. We thank you for impartations and revelations. Father, we thank you for help. And Lord, we know the Word is ever alive. So, Father, we thank you it's fresh to us tonight. That Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I thank you, Lord, that we'll get help. We'll get what we need tonight because you're faithful. You are the need meter. So we praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm not going to take a whole ton of time or review because really it's not necessary. We can just kind of say it in a few things. But we mentioned last week in Hosea 4 and verse 6 that the Bible says that people are destroyed when they don't know some things, you know, and ignorance is not bliss, and what you don't know can hurt you. And Jesus said the difference between people being in bondage and the people being set free is just knowing the truth. Amen, it's that simple. Once you know the truth, see, I heard it said this way one time, when you have symptoms in your body, if you're thinking right, they don't bother you. Why? The truth will set you free. What's the truth? Healing's mine, praise God. When you have seemingly not enough money in your life, it doesn't look like you can pay your bills, when you know the truth, that doesn't trouble you. Why? The truth says you have a supply. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it comes down to what you know, and we need to know some things. And we saw in Psalms 34 and verse 8, God said that I desire to have my people taste and see that I'm good. I want people to experience me, right? I want people to experience my grace, my mercy, my healing, my joy, my provision, my protection, my favor. He wants us to experience Him, but the whole world doesn't experience Him, do they? A lot of people are ignorant. You know, I told you about the person that was struggling in South Dayton, and they just refuse. You know, I guess I'll say it this way. God has ways. Never heard it said this way? There's a man-word side and a God-word side. God does His part, then man must do their part to receive the blessings from God's part. That's the way it was for salvation, the greatest promise ever. Didn't automatically come to you. And if there's nothing He would want more for you than to be saved, it took God doing something, but it took you doing something. And I remember that person, they sent me a message and they said, no, they're going through hell on earth. Do you know it's chaos? They said, God's got it. And the Holy Ghost said, no, He doesn't. And it's not because God doesn't want to do it. It's because they don't cooperate with His ways. And a lot of people are ignorant of His ways. So we need to find out His ways. And is it true that you can be ignorant of how God does things and God wanting to move and God wanting to show Himself in your life? Yeah, we see it in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. An error before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel laid down to sleep as well. And the Lord called Samuel. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. He went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose, went to Eli and said, here am I. You called me. He answered, said, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. So guess what? He was ignorant. And thank God he had Eli in the house that night, or he would have stayed ignorant. Because isn't it interesting, when he's running to go to Eli, God's not saying, hey, stop it, it's not him, it's me. Yeah, you got to know some things. It's our job to get into the know. You know, there are nations. People always say to me, well, if God's a God of prosperity and God's a God of provision, why are there nations struggling and people in hunger and third world country? The truth hasn't got to them yet. the gospel would set them free. Everywhere the gospel goes, increase comes. In health and mind and in prosperity. And the word just hasn't got there. Yeah, but isn't it interesting that ignorance can hurt people? God doesn't want to see those nations. God doesn't want to see his people hurting. But it's our job to get in the know, to cooperate with him. And the Lord called Samuel again, verse 8, third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So Eli knows, now this is something up here. I know God. I know how God works. This is not me calling him. This is God. Therefore, Eli, verse 9, said, "Go lie down. It shall be, if he shall call you, you shall speak. Say, Lord, your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down. Of course, God called again, and he knew what to do this time, and he responded to the Lord, and he received a visitation from God that night. Amen. But he didn't receive a visitation from God until he got into the know. And if you stay in the ignorant, you won't receive all that God has for you. And that's what we're going to talk tonight, going forward and experiencing God part two, how to experience him. Because I think a lot of people are just under that religious mindset that God's just going to do what God wants to do, and I'm going to experience God as need be, and if he wants to say something to me. But God is ever wanting to say something to you. God is ever wanting to do something for you. He's always wanting to bless you. You know, my kids, I use this as an example, my children experience the benefits of Daddy every single day. There's not a day that goes by that I want to be aloof towards my children or ignore them or, you know, kind of give them a stiff arm, you know. And no, every day I want to love on them. I want to bless them. I want to impart into them. I want to be a part of their life. Well, how much more for our Heavenly Father? But there are people that go their whole life and never really experience God, apart from the fact that maybe they received salvation, and that's great, and that's the most important, don't misunderstand me, and they'll go to heaven someday, but they live their whole life, just going through life kind of like a lottery, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, and you know, you just take the good with the bad, and you roll with the punches and things, but God's endeavoring to bless you, he's endeavoring to help you, and to be a part of your life, but you can't be ignorant in how he does it, and he has ways, praise God. I mean, he had a way to heaven. You got to go through his way. The whole world would want to go to heaven, knowing what heaven is, if they had a real revelation of what heaven is, but you can only get there one way. But not everybody wants to go the way, and not everybody knows the way, and so they miss out on the way. Well, let's not miss out. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. Now, you're going to say, "I've heard you preach along these lines before." That's good. You need to hear it even more. The faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We need to get these things in our hearts. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. It's important that you understand, because when we think of how does the God of the universe make sure from heaven that we get his blessings down here, that we get to receive of him, we might have our thoughts and ideas of how he's going to do things. And we think, well, maybe it'll be a vision of Jesus or angels in our bedroom or, you know, writing on the wall or something that you'd call spectacular. But the majority of the way that God moves on the earth to bless his children is not spectacular at all. What do I mean? It's not eye-popping and whoa and blow you away. No, but it is supernatural. And a lot of times people are looking for the spectacular, and when they don't see the spectacular, they miss out on the supernatural. And we got to make sure. But in this verse, it tells us in Isaiah 55, it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." So remember right off the bat, God doesn't think like we think. He says, neither are my ways, or the way I do things, the way that you would do things. He says, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we're trying to figure out, how do we experience God? How do we actually get the blessings from heaven into our life? Well, that's what we're going to keep finding out in this series. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight, this is why you need to hear it over and over again. You need to get it branded on the inside of you. Because if you are not aware, if you don't know that this is one of the major ways that God moves in your life, you won't honor this way of how he blesses you. And it is one of the major ways that he does it. Amen? There's other ways, and we'll look at it, but I'm going with this one first because it's one of the major ways that he does it. And the devil attacks this way. And the devil attacks this way, and the devil will, and your own thoughts will make it seem like it's not that vital, it's not that important, there's other ways, just like that person that I was talking to in that text message, and they're going through hell on earth, and I had sat down with them at two separate lunches where I drove an hour to meet with them in their location, to go to lunch with them, told them, you want things to change? You want life to be different? This is how you're going to get God to move in your situation. And they didn't do it. And then hell, life on earth is still hell on earth, and they're texting me saying, it's going to change. God's got it. Not until they go His way. Amen? So go with me to Luke 19 and verse 41. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, if there were other ways, I'd preach the other ways. I only got the manual here. I can only stick with the manual. It's not changed yet. Amen. Luke chapter 19, you know, when I got a chainsaw, you know, boy, that's don't put a chainsaw on my head. You better watch out. Run! I'm coming with that thing, you know, but I've, you know, learned to do the oil and with the gas, mix the gas and change the thing and sharpen it and stuff. Well, you know, at first I don't know how to do this stuff. I mean, my goodness, you put a baseball bat in my hand and a glove and we'll be fine, but you give me anything else that has to do with anything technical or mechanical, oh man, we got problems, you know, but I wasn't going to run to the store every time. You know, it doesn't take too much for a chainsaw blade to finally to go, or you know, to get dull after a while when you're cutting down a lot of things, and to run back and forth to the store to have them change it out, you know, every time is kind of a hassle. So I sat down in the manual and found out what tool I needed, what screws I needed to do, how to put that thing on, what way to put it on, and learned that. But you know what? I've had to do that more than once, and what I found is every time I do it, the manual didn't change. Tells me to do this, tells me to do this, tells me to do this. So every time we gather, the manual hasn't changed, praise God. It'd be just better just to conform to it, you know? I could get in trouble and get hurt saying, you know what? I don't think that's how the chainsaw should go. I know steel, STIHL, you know, that's what I got. I know you're telling me to do it this way, but I think. How about we just go with the manual? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The manufacturer of this whole thing, God, praise God. But Luke 19:41, when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city, what city? Jerusalem, and he wept over it. He was brokenhearted. Why did he move? Why was he weeping over it? Well, you have to understand, he loved the Jews. Yeah. He was one of them. He loved the Jewish people. They're God's people. Saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you. He's prophesying. And they shall compass you or surround you about and keep you in on every side, no way out. And shall lay thee even with you on the ground, children and thy children within you, and you shall not leave in one stone upon another because, he said, life's going to be hard for you and life's going to be different than it should be, simply because, not because the devil's big, bad, and strong. Oh, the devil gets credit for a lot. He didn't say, you know, the devil's after you, it's going to tear down Jerusalem. No. He said, the reason things are going to be different from you than they should be, or that they could be, is because you knewest not. There is again that word know. My people are destroyed for what they don't know. Jesus said, you're in bondage if you don't know. He said, you didn't know the time of your visitation. Yeah. Well, what was he talking about? He's talking about himself. Yeah. He's saying, here I am to deliver you and to set you free. But you didn't know what was on my life. You didn't know what was in your midst, and so you didn't receive from it. Well, what was Jesus? Now, this is not belittling him, because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he stripped himself of heavenly, you know, he became a man. He bled, he cried, he wept, he hungered, he thirsted, he was tired. He became a man on the earth. And he didn't enter into his ministry until he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, didn't. His first however many years, he wasn't doing miracles. He had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost, just like ministers nowadays have to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. But my point was, Jesus was a God-filled man in their midst. And was put there to change their whole world. And they didn't receive it. They were ignorant to him. Well, I'm going to show you here tonight, clearly in the Word, again, we're going to go in the Word, that one of the major ways in people all over the body of Christ, especially in 2019, with all the thoughts and the things on the internet and the TV, people have their own ideas about some things, but the Word has not changed in 2019. You're going to see in the Word tonight that one of the major ways that God gets His power, His grace, His blessings to His people, His children, is through a man. Now, when I say man, I'm talking mankind, ladies included. So I just don't want to keep saying man and women. So we'll say man for mankind. He gets His blessings through human beings. I'll show you clearly in the Word. But I think about even as recent as Wednesday night service. People came to that service needing help. I had no idea that that many people... Now, I knew that there was activity, that the devil was up to some things. I knew that because Pastor Michael declared where we're going and where we're headed. The prophet, the apostle of the family church has said some things, which confirmed in my spirit, you know, I've known him for a while. But he declared them, you know, and just like when Jesus declared we're going to the other side, the devil said, ooh, what's on the other side? Let's try to stop that. So the devil's stirring up things because it's going to take all of us to get into what we're going through, not just the pastor. And but I didn't realize the oppression. And when we called for people to come up to, the Spirit of God said there was anointing there to break that oppression off people. And when I did, I knew that they were going to feel a sense of freedom and to go forward. And many people have reached out to me and said they received that. And it was different instantaneously. Well, if you think about how that happened, God knew they were dealing with that the whole time. They were dealing with that on the way to church. They were dealing with that as they laid home at night. But how did that oppression get broke off those people? God didn't come out of heaven. Jesus didn't come out of heaven. But what did He use? A God-filled man in their midst, and it set them free. Amen. Now, if you don't have this revelation and this understanding, then services like the Durants won't mean much to you. And I'll show you the Word to get to me. Having a voice like Pastor Stinking Nancy Dufresne coming into Fredonia in our backyard won't mean much to you if you don't have a revelation of how God gets His help to you. If you don't have this revelation, Saturday night service and Tuesday services will just be, well, if I can make it, I'll make it. If I can't, I can't. When you understand that's how God gets His help to you. But again, don't take my word for it. Let's look in the Bible. But think about in the beginning of time, way, way back. You think about Jesus was a God-filled man. Think about Moses. God's people were enslaved by the Egyptians. Who was the one that God anointed to lead 2 million and some people from Pharaoh's grip? Who was the one that stood at the banks of the Red Sea? With water in front, mountains to their right, mountains to their left, an army tracking them down to trail them down and to take them back into captivity. Who is the one that dared to believe God, to hear from heaven and lift up that rod and smack that water? Who was the one that led those people out? God didn't come out of heaven to do it. Jesus didn't come out, but He anointed a man and a man took him across and delivered them. Amen, it's true. When God wanted to cut covenant on the earth, and now the Bible says through this man, all the nations of the earth are blessed, and we're blessed by this being the seed of Abraham. He used a man. He cut covenant with a man, praise God. And through Abraham, the blessing came. What about when Goliath was on the battlefield just absolutely intimidating the Israeli army. And nobody would go against him. And they're oppressing God's people. God's not coming out of heaven and changing the thing. God's not sending lightning bolts down and striking Goliath in the head. How did God deliver the people from the oppression of Goliath? He raised up a man. And David, now the power of God flowed through the man. It's always about the power of God in him and the anointing. But how did he do it? Go read the story of Queen Esther. He used men and women in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. I love the story of Queen Esther. Here the Jewish people were about to be annihilated. Were about to be slaughtered. There was a decree that this is happening. And she got word of it. Mordecai got word of it. Got wind of it, you know. And God used Esther to go into the king that declared it. Notice God didn't strike down the king that did it. God didn't send angels down to say, no, don't do that. How did God stop the Jewish people from being annihilated? How did he deliver them? How did he save them? He raised up a man. Esther, amen? Queen Esther. Hallelujah. And she went in. And through her, the Jewish people were saved and delivered. No angel, no vision from Jesus. God raised up a person. When the woman in 1 Kings 17 was down to her last meal, down to one more meal for her and her child, how did God get more increase into her? God didn't just rain down meal and oil from heaven for her. What did he do? He sent her a man, Elijah. And Elijah came, and through him, her life was changed. What about the widow woman in 2 Kings when Elisha, she's going to lose her babies to pay off a debt. God doesn't say, no, we're going to just supernaturally cancel that and rain down money from heaven. No, God sent her a God-filled man in her midst, and it delivered her and her family. Absolutely, it's how he does it. We could go on and on and on in the Bible and see examples. But people, that's not very spectacular. Because we're going to get to the pastoral office and we're going to get to the other offices tonight and look at how God endeavors to use them and what the Bible says about those offices. But the problem with those offices, and I'm not here to belittle myself or demean myself, I'm just telling you the truth. Me coming up here Saturday after Saturday, Tuesday after Tuesday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, the look of it to the natural does not scream spectacular. It screams very normal. Come up here, we know him, we see him, he looks the same, we do the same thing. It just seems like it could be normal and mundane, and if you treat it as such, you won't receive what God has for you. It's the truth. They did that with Jesus in Mark chapter 6. Remember? The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, after he just come from Mark chapter 4, and what did he do? Calm that storm. What did he do when he got off the boat in Mark chapter 4, over to verse 5? He cast out the devil out of the Gadarene man. Got back on the boat, went across and met Jairus. What did he do with Jairus? Raised his daughter from the dead. On his way to Jairus' house, what happened? Woman with the issue of blood came along. Set her free. I mean, miracles are popping. Things are happening. And then he gets into Mark chapter 6 in his own hometown, and all of a sudden the power was shut off, like somebody went over to the faucet and turned it off. But we know God's ever ready. We know Jesus is ever anointed. And the Bible says Jesus marveled at the people's unbelief. But why were they unbelieving? Why weren't they in expectation? That woman with the issue of blood, you know what she had? Expectation out her ears. Jairus had expectation out his ears. They saw something in what looks to be what millions of people in that nation said he's nothing. They saw something greater than the natural. They were willing to look past what wasn't spectacular, but to the supernatural. And remember what Jesus, they said about him? We know him. He's the carpenter. He's Mary's son, the son of Joseph. His brothers and sisters are here with us. Who is he? They couldn't see past. If you can't see past the human being, and you can't see what the eyes will tell you and the natural, what your thoughts will tell you, you won't receive what God has for you. But the way we do that is by getting in the Word and looking at what the Word says. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 8. How's God doing it now? Well, God doesn't change. If he was raising up people in the Old Testament, you know some of those people in the Old Testament? Excuse me. Got people into things that they couldn't get into themselves. You know those people that God raised up in the Old Testament? Got people out of things and delivered them out of things that they couldn't get out of themselves. Well, there's people nowadays that are into things that need to get out of them. And there are people that are out of things that need to get into some things. Well, if in the Old Testament he used people, don't you think if God doesn't change in the New Testament, he's going to do the same exact thing? Yes, he is. Well, let's find out. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high," talking about Jesus, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Look at that. So the Bible says when Jesus went to heaven, after he had died, rose again, you know, was on the earth, appeared, then was taken up in Acts chapter 1 in a cloud out of their sight. The Bible says he didn't just leave us here with nothing. He gave gifts to mankind. Amen. Well, what were those gifts? Verse 11 tells us. Verses 8 through 10 talk about him ascending and descending, which is good stuff, but doesn't need to be read here tonight. It says, and he gave. What are these gifts that you gave, Jesus? He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Now, what are these gifts? They're men and women that fill these roles. Amen. Amen. They're men and women. What are these gifts? These five, we call them the fivefold ministry office. There are five gifts that God gave that come with anointings, equipment, and mantles on them. Amen. They do. Now, he said, I gave you these things. Why did you give them to us, Jesus? So we could have something to do on a Saturday night? So we could have something to do on a Sunday morning? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. Amen. What does perfecting mean? A continual progression of getting better. Of the things that are lacking and the things that are hurting getting pushed out and those voids being filled for the better. Well, I know this. It's the things that I do wrong that hurt me. It's my imperfections that are not helping me. And apparently the Bible says as human beings, children of God, that we have some imperfections. In fact, that word, verse 12, perfecting means the equipping or the complete furnishing of the saints. There's things we need to be successful. Now look at what it says at the rest of that, those verses. For the equipping, for the furnishing, for the perfecting of the body of Christ, of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Why? Because Jesus isn't coming out to do the work of the ministry. You do know that the world that is possessed by devils and bound by devils and hell bound is not going to be set free by Jesus alone. He's not coming out to do it. He's going to stay right on the right side of the Father. God is not coming out of heaven to do it. No, we, ladies and gentlemen, are the Jesuses on the earth. We are the ones that need to be furnished and equipped and perfected. Why? For the work of the ministry. You say, is it Pastor Mike's job to do the work of the ministry? No. It's my job to train you to go out and do the work of the ministry. Church is training ground. Church is boot camp. In boot camp, you go through the drills. Why? So when you get out on the battlefield, you know what to do. That's what this is. You ought to be out into the battlefield, the mission field, winning the lost, casting out devils, knowing how to lead people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, knowing how to lay hands on the sick, knowing how to tell people, knowing how to witness to people. We're the soldiers. Amen. And this is boot camp. Praise God. And not only is this boot camp going forward, your life needs to be, when your life is furnished and your life is perfected and your life is equipped, it's a better life. Amen. It's a better life. If I send my two children to hockey practice and I send Abby with no helmet and no stick and no skates and no pads and say, go on, little one. And I send Caleb out with the face mask and the helmet and a stick and the gloves and the full body pads and the skates, and I send him out, it's going to be a different experience for each of those kids. You want to know why? The one that's fully equipped, the one that's fully furnished is going to have a lot better time personally and be a greater blessing to their team. Yeah. Abby's going to be smacked around, hit in the face with the puck, knocked down, that slipping and sliding with no skates. It's not going to be fun for her, and she's not going to bring much of a supply to the body of her team. Amen. This is the truth. Amen. Praise God. Well, it goes on to say, until we all come in the unity of the faith. Well, I want you to know that ain't going to happen until Jesus comes back. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. You ain't going to be a perfect man until Jesus comes back. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Without the fivefold ministry offices, perfecting, equipping, and furnishing you, the body of Christ is no more than children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. A wind of doctrine comes in. That's why I love the gift on Brother Hagin's life. When he was running what he was doing and running his race, he was the foremost prophet to the world, not the United States, the world. And there would be wind of doctrines that would come in pockets in the body of Christ. The gold dust phenomenon, look these things up, the feather thing that happened, all these weird and ooky things, the clapping doctrine in church, and people starting to clap and pray for praise. Ladies and gentlemen, this just doesn't even seem right in my spirit. This is what you do for humans. You don't do this for God. You do this for Him. And all these things would come in, these doctrines and the financial things. And Brother Hagin would get up and have a camp meeting or a winter Bible seminar. And books like Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits came out of that. And it would correct the whole body of Christ. And people were just carried about. Oh, this person came in and said this. And they're just carried about like children. But the ministry offices were used, praise God, in place to help people. So they're not carried about, tossed to and fro every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Hallelujah. So He gave us these gifts. Now, I'm not going to talk a whole ton about the pastoral office, but I am going to talk about it some. Because remember what Pastor Mike said, that God in the Old Testament used men and women to get people into things, and He used men and women to get people out of the things they needed to get out of. Well, what did Jesus say about the pastoral office? Because if the pastoral office is just as much as the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, then we better have more guest ministers in. Because Pastor Mike doesn't stand in the office of a prophet, and we need the office of a prophet in our life. Pastor Mike doesn't stand in the office of evangelist. Pastor Mike doesn't stand in the office of a teacher. Now, I got to say something so I don't contradict myself. Wednesday night, I mentioned about the other office that I go in, that dabble around. Now, I'm not calling myself an apostle. I will never call myself an apostle. That's for you to find out from God. But I will say this, that when Pastor Michael laid hands on me in the storefront way back in, oh, probably would have been May of 2011 is when it was. He laid hands on me and he talked about in another office operating in my life. Well, at the time, I thought it was the prophetic office, just because that's what he operates in all the time. But I've come to find out it was not the prophetic office. It was that apostle, that sent one. It's on my heart to start works, just so you know. I just want to start works and get them going and seeing regions and areas and things. And that's one of the markings of an apostle. So I'm not saying I'm an apostle. I know I stand in the office of a pastor, but I do operate in that office at times. But my point is this. If the pastor is on the same level to the sheep as the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, and the evangelist, then we're missing the mark. Because we only have these ministers in once a month, once every couple months. You see them in the family church. We're blessed in the family church to have these ministers come in. But if they're the same, but we need to see, are they the same? Do they have the same weight? They don't have the same weight. Go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You'd think, man, they got it good. Things are going good here. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And we'll look up this in the Amplified in a second. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He said, these people, I have compassion or pity on them because they're scattered and faint. They're just like what a sheep would be like that didn't have a shepherd. Now, a natural shepherd that's out in the field has gifts and abilities and responsibilities to natural sheep. Bah, the animal sheep, right? He's not saying that the sheep of the body of Christ, his children, God's children, which are called sheep, he's not saying those sheep need that kind of a shepherd. I don't need someone to lead me to my feeding, naturally. I know where the fridge is. I don't need somebody to provide a shelter over my head like a shepherd does for the sheep. That's not what he's talking about. That word shepherd there in the Greek is the word pastor. He said, I'm looking at these people. I'm here. Jesus says, I'm here. I'm laying hands on them. They're being delivered, but they're scattered and faint. Why? They're sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a pastor. Now, please pull that up in the Amplified Bible. Because what do we say? God uses men and women to get us into things we can't get into by ourselves and get us out of things. And apparently, people that don't avail themselves to the shepherd's office are going to look a little scattered and faint. And Jesus is looking at you saying, I have pity on you. Well, in the Amplified, it says, when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Because they, who? The people without a shepherd. People fail. They want what God wants for them. I meet with people. I've met with people recently. I mean, they tell me right to my face, I'm going through hell on earth in my life. Okay. Well, that's not God's plan for you. That's not God's will for you. And they're born again. And they're children of God. And they're going to heaven. And life's hell on earth. Depression and poverty and fear and anxiety and stress and sickness. Overwhelm them. And so I tell them, you want things to change? Time to go through God's way. Just like I would tell the unsaved person, you don't want to go to hell? Go on the way. Get on the way. Go to heaven. Jesus is the way. Well, you don't want to look bewildered, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless? You need to have a shepherd in your life. But they'll look at me and say, but I do, you're my shepherd. And I'll say, I'm not your shepherd. The sheep shepherd have a face-to-face relationship. Have a feeding and receiving the feeding relationship. Have an amongst the flock type of relationship. You might say, Pastor Mike is my shepherd, but saying you have a shepherd is not where the power comes from. The power comes from Jesus saying to Peter in John 21, Peter, if you love me three times, make sure that you don't just say, people can say, that's my feeder, but make sure that you feed my sheep. What's that mean? If you're feeding, make sure the sheep are being fed. Amen. And I'll say to the people that sit there, it's like, how long does this have to go on until you're finally going to change and do it God's way? Because it won't change until you do it God's way. Jesus is not going to change in 2019. Say, well, I'm going to make it different in 2019. No. The people that he looks upon and says, they don't have a shepherd. They're not receiving from that gift. They're not receiving from that anointing. So I pity them because they don't know what they're missing out of. They don't know what's available to them. They don't know what's... Why? Not because we're magnifying a human being. Because God's, without God's anointing and God's blessing, the human being is just a human being. Big deal. There's not a whole lot natural I can offer you. I'll teach you how to turn double play. Real good. I'll teach you some good footwork around second base. I can do it. My sister sent me a video of my niece playing T-ball, and she makes good contact. And I'm like, man, she's got good natural ability. But I watched her when she was hitting, and she's holding her bat down here when she goes to hit. And I sent a text, and I said, have her raise her hands up. I can do that kind of stuff. I'll teach you how to do it, how to hit the ball good and field the ball good. But anything else from that? No, I can't tell you how to be healed naturally. I can't tell you how to be set free with depression. I don't know any of that stuff, but with the anointing I can. Oh, with the anointing I can do some things. And he's saying the people that just refuse that, don't recognize that, don't see that. He said, that's the way their life's going to look. And it was like that person that I sent that text message to that he said, God's God. I said, no, he doesn't. You know what I told him in two lunches? Sir, if you want your life to change, start being faithful in church. I'm saying things all the time there and anointing's going out that would set you free, but you don't know any of these things. When sickness comes to you, you don't know how to deal with it. When poverty comes to you, you don't know how to deal with it. That's what I'm telling him at lunch. And he's, oh, yeah, that's good, Pat. Oh, yep, I see that. When attacks come on you, you don't know how to deal with it. We don't learn this stuff on our own. If we could do it on our own, Jesus would never need to give the gifts. If we wouldn't be carried away with wrong doctrine that by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness of men, we wouldn't need these gifts. If we could just feed ourselves, Jesus wouldn't have told Peter, feed my lambs. Evidently the lambs need fed. How do you know? I was one. I needed it. And I still get fed. I'm still a sheep. Sheep to Pastor Michael, for sure. Absolutely. And people that fail to recognize this, because why? They think, like that person, God's got this, but God's got ways that he's got this. And if you neglect the man, you neglect the visitation that's in your life. Because on the man, why do I pay money to go to California? Why do I pay money to go see Pastor Nancy? Why will I be in three nights of her meetings and pay money to go to Canada, to get a hotel room, to buy food, to be up there, to be away from my family, to cancel midweek services that would bring finances into the church? Because there's something on the man. And I recognize it, and you know what? I receive from it. Amen. Hallelujah. The sad thing is the prophets will come into town next week, and they'll be here for a set of 4 or 5 meetings, whatever it is, and they'll have things on their life meant to bring you into things, get things off you, deliver you from some things, and it'll come and go, and people will stay the same because they won't avail themselves to the man, because that's just an inconvenience. That's just a guest minister meeting. I can be blessed as much as I need to be on my own. No, you can't. Someone needs to tell you, no, you can't. Now, if you're okay being unperfected, and you're okay not being fully equipped and fully furnished, and not getting all that God has for you, that's fine. But don't be deceived and think you're going to walk into the highest level of blessing and anointing and deliverance and help by neglecting the way that God says to do it. Well, I'm certain that God would never send me to hell. I'm a good person, and I give to charity, and I don't even cuss that much, and I'm kind and compassionate. There's a lot of kind and compassionate, moral people burning in hell right now. Good person doesn't get you to heaven. Going through the way gets you to heaven. Well, I just can't imagine that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Well, I'll just get whatever I want. I got me, my Jesus, and my Bible. It's one of the biggest, fattest lies of the devil, and the word is so clear. Jesus said, I'm here with you, but I'm telling you, I have pity on you because I'm going to be gone someday, and you need a shepherd. Amen. Do you know that there's not one of the other ministry gifts that says has this much weight in your life like the weight of a pastor? I am dumbfounded at the people I've seen over the years that have received from this gift. I would never in a million years leave my shepherd. Nothing's going to separate. Why? It's my life. It's my lifeline. The people that have left and gone to move because the weather's better, because the money was better. So where are you going to get fed? Well, I'm pretty sure there's churches there. Why would you pull yourself out of the anointing? It's just a lack of revelation. It's a lack of a revelation. The shepherd is the one office out of the five that has the most weight in an individual sheep's life. He doesn't say that they're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless like sheep without a shepherd because you don't have a prophet, an apostle, a teacher, or an evangelist. He said there's one. The shepherd. Why? The shepherd's with the sheep. I'm just here to tell you, the Durants are not waking up in the middle of the night with you on their heart. But you know who is? Me. When you need counsel, some of you can say, man, I was headed down the road of worry, fear, anxiety, things, and you spoke to me and it changed. I know, I'm a recipient of it. I talked to my pastor. I'm like, oh man, thank you, Lord. Some of you had experienced the anointing on this gift. You ain't going to be able to call Pastor Nancy Dufresne or Joel Holstein or Creflo Dollar or Joyce Meyer. The shepherd is with the sheep. The shepherd's there encouraging, keeping the sheep in faith, feeding the sheep constantly. That's what the shepherd does. Again, this is not a Mike Anderson magnification sermon. This is a ways of God magnification. Because I see it over and over again, we have a bunch of ignorant, rogue people in the body of Christ who think they can do it on their own, and they can't. God never expected people to do it on their own. The greatest natural voice. Now you need to understand this, because the Bible says there are not any voices that won't have significance in your life, because what you hear is what you'll have faith for. So what you give heed to, amen. There's nobody in your life whose voice has as much weight as the pastor does. So this is kind of cultish and weird. No. Remember what I told Jake. Only follow me if what I'm telling you is the Bible. When it gets out into the Word and start giving you my opinions and start meddling in your life, and that's when you run for the hills. There's no other person, not a spouse, not a family member, not a friend that's helped you throughout the years. Thank God. God can use other people. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God for friends. I mean, He used Reverend Randy Nelbone to get me saved. He wasn't a pastor. Changed my life. He's used other people. He's used other people in your life. But nobody should carry the weight in your ears like that of the shepherd. Because the shepherd is the only one that's anointed to keep you from this and deliver you from this. Amen, it's true. People need to know that. Because if I just come up here, it's like, there's my short, little stocky pastor again. Going to jump up and down and shout, and his veins are going to pop, he's going to spit, and it's just, you know, we'll probably be for about 45 minutes to an hour, and just like, ho-hum, ho-hum, you'll miss the power that was intended to change your world. My world was changed, not when I got born again. My spiritual world was changed, and my destination for eternity was changed. But you know when my world changed? When I submitted to a shepherd. Got under that feeding and that anointing. And the things, now that's why you hear me say it all the time. Anything I have in my life that's good, anything that I know, I thank God for Pastor Michael Lekedek. Without my shepherd. Oh, man, and I'll tell you what. Here's the thing you need to know. He tried to work it out with me. The devil will work overtime to separate you from your shepherd. You just need to know that. Why does he always attack that relationship? Because it's the only relationship that if he can get a hold of, he can get you into those things. So get ready for the thoughts that come against me. I'm just telling you. Oh, he doesn't care. Oh, who does he think he is? Oh, he's probably never gone through anything. Oh, man, listen, I've got all the thoughts that have come against my pastor. But I know where they're from. They're from the devil. I just ignore them. Now I laugh at them and say, you're so stupid. Whereas when I was younger in the faith, I'd say, oh, you know what, he really doesn't seem like he cares that much. Listen, when you're a sheep to Pastor Michael Lekedek, you better have some thick skin. My pastor's not sweet like I am. He'll admit it. He's not. Why? He more stands in that office of the prophet. In that office of the prophet, naturally, a little bit different. They are. He doesn't do this to me. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. He's not a sweet man naturally. He has to really, really tap in to naturally be sweet. He's not texting me all the time and encouraging me. He doesn't call me, see how I'm doing, and build me up. And I know part of it's because he's not in that role. But what I'm saying is I've had all the thoughts concerning my shepherd. To try to what? Divide me from him, because it was that anointing that delivered me from so much. Yeah. Praise God. So remember that, amen? And now last but not least, we'll close with this. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Praise his holy name forevermore. And what does that mean? Does that mean, Pastor Mike, if we miss a Saturday, are we in trouble and not going to make it? No. I'm talking about consistently being under your watering and your feeding, more than consistently not. Amen? Amen. But don't misunderstand something. That being in your feeding and availing yourselves to this watering of your shepherd and the other gifts will at times take effort, will at times take priority adjusting. Amen. We can't just say. We know, because when Jesus dealt with Mary and Martha, there was a lot to be done, and Martha was busy. But Mary sat and heard the word, and Jesus said she did the right thing. She did what was needful. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on, Martha, but if you don't stop and hear the word, you're going to struggle. We can't just say, life's too busy for me all the time. I get it. It comes up, it's busy. But if you're not consistently being watered by your shepherd, you're missing out. There's something God wants for you. Amen. And sometimes that takes effort. Sometimes that takes rearranging. Sometimes that takes... But you know what I find in the word is that the people that received the greatest from God were the ones that were willing to be the most inconvenienced. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll say that because it needs to be said by the Holy Ghost. People that value their money over their appointments with God, you just have a wrong revelation. Oh, I need that job. I need that job. I need that money. Oh, I need that money. No, you don't. No, you don't. The anointing can bring more money, and the shepherd can bring more. The anointing from the shepherd and the watering of the word can bring you more money than that. Amen. I'm not talking about people that are in jobs. I'm talking about people that leave, take jobs because money leads them. Listen, if you're in a job and it keeps you from consistent watering, just believe God for change. Lord, you want me fed. You're not going to just tell me to quit my job to starve to death. He understands. But you can believe God and use some faith, can't you? Yeah. Don't make the mistake, praise God, of separating yourself from the watering of the word. What did Paul say? I planted, Apollos watered, God gave increase. Notice there's no increase without planting and watering. What am I doing every week? Planting, watering that seed. Planting new seeds, watering those seeds. Then increase comes. Increase doesn't come without the planting and the watering. What is the planting and the watering Paul's talking about? He's not talking about a garden. He's talking about the sowing of the word, planting it in you, and then sowing and watering more on that word, and then it leads to increase. Right? We talked about Julie being ignorant. She needed healing. She came into the church. What happened, Pastor Mike? Sowing the word, watering the word. She's going home and listening to the word. It's watering. And guess what she gets? Increase. Through the preaching and the teaching. What's the first thing Jesus did everywhere he went? Preached and teach, preached and teach, preached and teach, preached and teach, preached and teach. Why? Got to get the word in them. What happened in Mark chapter 6 when they didn't get it? He didn't say, oh, to heck with them. No, what did the Bible say? And he went back around in their villages, in their cities, preaching and teaching, preaching and teaching. Why? Sowing and watering, sowing and watering. Why? That'll lead to increase. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he gave some. Now look at these: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we can't also say, even though we can magnify the shepherd in what it is, for what the word says it is, but we can't say that we just need the shepherd, that the shepherd's all I need. Well, the shepherd is a main part of what you need for your spiritual life and for your natural life to be successful, but the full furnishing and full equipping can't happen without availing to the other ministry gifts. You see it there. We are so blessed in the family churches to have people that actually stand. I'm not talking about parking lot prophets. Some 20-year-old stands up and declares they're a prophet. No. We're talking about New Testament, Bible-backed people over them who've run their race, accountability, follow the word type ministry gifts. Amen. Anybody can call themselves anything. Amen. We're so blessed in the family churches through Pastor Michael's connection and his connection with the Dufresnes and connection with Brother Hagin and those ministries to have such high caliber. Listen, the Durants, that prophetic office, I talked about the one last week when they called me out in the service. I could tell of another time when I was getting ready to go into ministry. And all Pastor Michael's ministers always dress up. He's ingrained it in me that, listen, when you're working for the Lord, you wear the best thing that you got. Well, a suit's the best thing I got. Now, you know, if I'm going to a wedding, I'm dressing up. If I go to a funeral, I'm dressing up. If I go for an interview, I'm dressing up. So for me, if I'm going to God, my conviction is I'm in God's house. I'm preaching the word. I'm going to dress up for him. Amen. And I was getting ready to go into ministry, and I was in the service for a Durant service. And Brother Kevin saw me, and the Lord told him that I was going to start a church. But he saw me there, and I wasn't dressed up like a minister, and he started getting to his head about it. But he went through and followed the Holy Ghost, because the natural, you know, see, when you start ministering in these words of knowledge and things, there's still a natural you got to get past. There's a faith element. Like, for example, when the Holy Ghost told me on Wednesday night that Rich and Lynn were going to be, that I want them to be funders, that I'm going to get greater funds in their life, I hear that, but then there's still a natural man that has to still walk that out and speak that out by faith. And let me tell you something, the thoughts you get. And there was a woman, she's only been there a few times, her name's Amy, and she's starting to get faithful at the South Dayton Church. And the Lord dropped something in my heart that got the whole service started, said, minister to her, I'm going to turn some things around in her life, and it's going to be evident. Well, I don't know what the heck you're talking about, Lord. But she comes forward, and I say, Amy, God wants to turn some things around for you. Does that mean anything to you? She closes her eyes and smiles and nods her head. I don't know what that means. So Brother Kevin, he hears that this guy's going to start a church and be in ministry, but I'm sitting there not in my dress clothes. And he knows Pastor Michael trains these guys. What's going on here? I don't know why I wasn't, but he ministered to me. And it was so spot on prophetic office about what's going to happen. And Pastor Michael said he came up to me afterwards and said, yeah, I wasn't sure. Did I get that right? Is that right about him? Because I know all your ministers, they always dress up. He said, oh, that's right. What's wrong with him tonight? Now let me speak on this. Am I saying you got to wear a suit to church? No, I'm not. But what I am saying is follow your heart. Follow your heart. Amen. Just follow your heart on that. That's where I could meddle and you know, start giving my personal convictions. No. But I do believe we ought to follow our heart and be excellent for God. Amen. Praise God. And you just follow your heart, whatever that means for you. Don't think that because I have that conviction, you have to wear a suit and tie to be here, because you don't. That's just not the truth. The devil will tell you it is, but it's not the truth. If you have that on your heart, by all means, praise God. But I could tell you about times at the Durants who stand in that office of the prophet. Sister Annie also stands in the office of an evangelist. Now, people think that the evangelist's office is just one that gets people saved. No, the evangelist's office has miracle equipment with it. And she's got some miracles operating in her. I mean, some things that have happened in her ministry that are just, wow. I'm sure she'll tell about some of them. And so they stand in these offices, and they're going to be here. And an hour from here in South Dayton, with that watering and that equipment, that, remember, they have the equipment that you need to be furnished. Things that can get you over the top. Things that can get you into some things. Oh, you're just trying to talk us into going, listen, don't take this the wrong way. I love you. But if you don't go to any one of those meetings, personally for me, I don't give a rip. Now, you could take it the wrong way and say, well, sheesh, that's not very nice. It's not going to change my life. I'll be there. And I'll be in the Pastor Nancy meetings. And I'll sacrifice, and I'll make the drive, and I'll make the time, and I'll do it. I will. I'll do it. And I used to do this well before I was a preacher. Why? I have a revelation. I need what they have. But if you don't do it, I'm still going to love you the same, I'm going to care about you the same, help you the same, but I'm telling you, you will miss out on something that God had for you to increase you. Amen. Amen. And the person that's the most blessed is the doer of the word. Amen. It's not the person that sits there in your mind right now and argues with me. Well, who do you think you are? But you don't understand my life. No, stop with all that. You don't have to put up a fight. I'm not fighting you. I told you, if you don't come, that's fine. You're not going to hear a word from me. I'm trying to bring you up higher to let you know there's something available for you. Amen? And praise God, with live stream, with schedules and distance, it makes it a lot easier to be able to, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like being in the service. That's just the truth. That's Bible in the corporate anointing. But you know, God also understands that you just absolutely can't, not because you're just, you know, don't want to be inconvenienced or it's just a little bit, hard. You know, good thing the woman with the issue of blood didn't say, you know, I probably could get healed today, but what a drag. I'd rather just stay here with my feet kicked up. I mean, I could go out in that crowd and press through and touch Jesus. I mean, I could drive down to South Dade. I could be in those meetings. But you know what? That's an hour and, you know, don't get me started. We're trying to stop this thing here. But we bring them here for you to be blessed, and you see in the Word, you need them. God has something for you. I think of the words and the things that were spoken over me, and you think, well, you're a pastor, you get these things. Yeah, they do minister to ministers at times, but I'm talking prior to full-time ministry, from the time of 2002 to 2010 when I started the church, I probably could count on two hands in 8 years how many church services I missed. And never one was because I didn't want to go, because I didn't feel like going, because it was an inconvenience, because it was too far, because it was going to be too late. Never. It was, I was sick, couldn't physically be there. And let me tell you something. Don't let, I'm just not feeling 100%. How about you get under the anointing and let it take that away? Well, I have a little bit of a headache. Well, I'm kind of tired. Come on, people. Are we hungry for the things of God, or are we casual about the things of God? In 8 years, before I was in full-time ministry, I could probably count on two hands the services that I missed. Guest minister meetings, midweek services. Why? I just had a revelation, and I just saw God keep speaking to me. And there are times I look back on mile markers in my life, I say, oh my gosh, what if I'd have missed that? What if I'd have missed that word? What if I'd have missed that? Just look at the word, do the word. Amen? Well, don't forget, one of the ways that God moves on this earth and gets you your blessings is through another human being. And it can be friends, it can be family, absolutely. But these ministry gifts are pointed out for a reason. Praise God. And we have an opportunity this Saturday to be a doer of the word, the upcoming week. Again, do what you can. Follow your own heart. Again, nobody's judging you. I certainly don't judge anybody. I just know for me what I got to do, and I walk that out, and I just pray that you be obedient to what you need to do. Amen? But we're going to get some things this upcoming week. Yeah, amen? Let's just endeavor right now that our lives are going to be changed by these guest ministers. Yeah. That heaven's going to talk to us. Praise God. And I just double dog dare you. I mean, you're not going to let me double dog dare you, are you? I double dog dare you to actually listen to your pastor and do something you've never done. Because if you do something you always done, you always get what you always got. Because some people think, I'll never go to a midweek service. Okay, well then there's that part of your life that's going to be a little bit lacking. Yeah. Well, I'll never go to a guest minister meeting. Well, there's a big chunk of the pie there that's going to be missing if you say, I'll never do it. Okay, well then we'll get you as blessed as we can. Showing up here, we'll do as best we can, but there's going to be things you're missing out on. So I love you. I hope you know that. Amen, and praise God. Next week, we'll take a break from this series and go back to it the week after. So, Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful, so thankful for what you've done for us, for the Word of God, for these gifts you put in our lives, Lord. We want to reverence these gifts. We want to honor, not worship the man or the woman, not hero worship, but, Father, we do understand that this is a way you do things. Lord, without Moses, people would have struggled. Without Abraham, people would have struggled. Without Esther, people would have struggled. Without Elijah, people would have struggled. Without Elisha, people would have struggled. Without David, people would have struggled. Father, we can go on and on in the Bible of men and women of God that you raised up and put in people's lives. And when they honored that and availed themselves to it and recognized that, they received from it. So, Father, I pray that people will get a revelation of the pastoral office in their life, but also a revelation of the other four ministry gifts that you've put in our midst. And, Lord, I pray that people will be doers of the word and they would just dare to step out and they would just dare to go forward more. And we praise you for it. We bless you for it, Father. As I look around, I know we're all born again in here, but if you're listening online and you're not saved, you don't know that you'd go to heaven. Jesus is the way. I told you that. Say, I want to know how to get to heaven. Block out any other reason why you think you're going or not going. The way to get there, Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way. You must believe on him. So if you're listening by live stream now or in the future, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. That's how you get into heaven. You just simply say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that, he'll do it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Bruce, do you mind going in the back and helping Jeff with communion? Please, sir, thank you so much. We're going to take up communion now, and we're just going to use this time to reverence him and to remember what he did for us. And it's really a time of honor and worship. And so let's get into that mentality before I have them come forward. Let's get into that mentality right now and just put your eyes on him. Begin to worship him. You go ahead and put that song on, Brandy. We bless you, Lord. We honor you and magnify you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Praise you, Lord, and bless you and honor you. Thank you. when you're thinking about Jesus during this time, the first thing he did when he left was give you gifts. Oh, he loves you so much. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Thank you. Without your goodness, without your kindness, Father, you didn't give up on me, Lord. Even when I became one of your children, Father, you never give up on me. You've been so willing to forgive me, so willing to wash me clean, to help me, to pick me up when I fall. Thank you so much. Love you so much. Yes, I'll do that, Father. I'll take care of that business after. Says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance.'" Let's go ahead and break the bread and symbol of his body being broken and go ahead and eat. Lord, we thank you so much for what the bread represents. Bible says, by the stripes in your body, we can be healed. Your body was broken so we could walk into divine healing. We thank you so much for that, Lord. Oh, the pain and the misery that you endured for us. Could never thank you enough. And the Bible says, after the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Let's go ahead and drink. Lord, I thank you that the juice represents the blood that was shed for the remission and for the forgiveness of our sins. We're just so grateful and so thankful. Yes. Now, the Bible says that at the end it says in verse 30, well, in verse 29 it says, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body." See, Jesus' body went through something that was more than just salvation. And it goes on to say, "For this cause, many are weak and sick and sleep among you," because they don't recognize the Lord's body. So Jesus' time on the cross and what he went through was for our physical healing. And Elaine, would you let me minister to you and minister the anointing to you? The Lord wants to minister the anointing to your body. I know you're in faith. I know you're believing. I'm standing with you. But there's also a tangible anointing. And the anointing breaks the yoke. So you can just, Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak to this body. And we speak to that cancer. And we say, "You're just a name. Jesus is the name above all names." And we curse that cancer. And we command it right now in the name of Jesus to leave her body. And we declare from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she's healthy and whole, healed of the Lord. And we thank you that she will live long on this earth. In Jesus' name, receive it. Hallelujah. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you just stay in faith, Elaine. You just stay in faith and keep thanking Him that that power is working in you. Driving that thing out. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for a testimony. We thank you for the healing power of God. Just worship and praise Him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You got too much for her to do. Yes. Yes, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Yeah, we thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yes, Elaine, the Lord says don't be moved by the wind and the waves, because the wind and the waves, you'll see them for sure. And they'll press upon you and they'll beat upon you. But don't be moved by the wind and the waves. Be moved by what you know. Be moved by what's deep in your heart. Be moved by what the Word says. And begin to declare those things which be not as though they are, that you are the healed of the Lord. And look at the wind and the waves in the face and declare the way it's going to be. Don't talk about the way it is. Don't focus about the way it is. Don't focus on what you feel. Don't focus on what you see, but focus on what you know. And watch the Lord move and watch the Lord work. And yes, you will be a testimony. You will be a voice that will help others. For you will go through the storm and you will go through the fire and you'll come out a champion and you'll come out victorious. And we give you the praise for this, Father. We thank you it's so. We thank you it's so. We thank you you're greater than any disease, any sickness. And Father, we just thank you for what you're working in her body, what you're doing in her life right now. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and pass your cups to the center. We'll have the ushers collect those. We'll just let Elaine do what God's doing with her down there. So just kind of let her be. But if you're a kid, you took notes and you'd like a prize, come on up here right now and get in line and we'll give them to you. But for the rest of you, you're dismissed. Head downstairs. We call the food blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Finley. I know you took good notes.